Hey, it's the Rye Man coming to you with another Broncos Country Blitz. The Broncos get mutilated, destroyed, annihilated by the Miami Dolphins, 70-20, to drop to 0-3 on the season. And you wish it was a Madden football video game score, 70-20, but no, it actually happened to our Denver Broncos. We lost by 50, 70-20. And if it wasn't for a Marvin Mims kick return, the score might have looked a little worse. And once again, if it wasn't for Mike McDaniel giving some mercy to the team that he used to be the ball boy for, it could have also been worse. It could have been record-setting for the Dolphins. Mike McDaniel took some mercy on the Broncos at the end. Honestly, nice of him. I don't know if I would have. Just from the standpoint of, you know, it's a record. They haven't been able to stop you. It's not about humiliation at this point. It's about a gut check at this point. And the Broncos should have stopped the Dolphins at some point before they got to 70 points. But really, as I go back to it, obviously the defense, I've mentioned it the first 2 weeks of the year. I was nervous about the defense after week one. Made the point that Jimmy Garoppolo looked like Tom Brady. Then I made the comment that Sam Howell looked like Tom Brady. And now Tua, who is actually a very good quarterback, I actually like him quite a bit. I enjoy watching him play. I mean, he tore us up. He lit us up. I mean, 23 of 26 for 309 and 4 touchdowns. His first 16 passes were all complete. And the defense just had no answers. They were out of position. It was just terrible to watch. And from this fan standpoint, when you can tell, I made this comment about Nathaniel Hackett last year. There is a problem when you are watching, especially from home on your TV, that you could tell the players are out of position. You could tell Broncos defensive players were out of position during the Dolphins game. It was not hard to spot. It did not get corrected the entire game. It was unbelievably ridiculous. I mean, the Dolphins had 726 yards of offense, second most ever in history, the most obviously for a Broncos team, and 70 points, the most ever allowed by a Broncos defense, obviously. And like I said, the Dolphins had a chance to set the all-time record. They had a chance to kick the field goal to make it 73, and they didn't do it. They took mercy on the Broncos instead of going into the record books. And I wouldn't have blamed them if they went for the record, like I said. Because the Broncos defense had no answers. There were questions on whether parts of the team quit during the day. Now, it was a hot and humid day in Miami. Everyone knows Hard Rock Stadium, the opponents are in the sun all day long while the Dolphins are in the shade. But with that being said, you know that going down there. And maybe the players weren't used to that type of heat, weren't conditioned for that type of heat. I mean, we don't want to go into excuses, but they just looked like they weren't trying in the second half. And the way players were out of position, there was the big Tyreek Hill catch in the first part of the game. And you could tell there were defensive backs out of position. On the replay, there's two defensive backs in the same exact spot while Tyreek Hill's running free down the field. What are you doing in the same spot? And it goes back to coaching and Vance Joseph. Now, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've thought about it a little since. But during the game, I was tweeting out or whatever it's called now, Xing out or whatever it is, that fire Vance Joseph because this is ridiculous. Now, I mentioned it could work because his defense is all about high pressure and sacks. It's middle of the pack in terms of rankings. But the problem is we're not getting the pressure. We're not getting any pressure. And we're not near the middle of the rankings. We're at the dead last spot. Last I checked, I believe we're at the dead last spot. We could be one up, but from last I checked, we're at the bottom of the league in defense. Now, you know what? Here is something that's for certain. When you give up 726 yards and 70 points, you're not going to win any football games. I mean, and, you know, as fans, yeah, we're ticked. I mean, like I was saying, you know, I think there's certain levels in terms of how a game unfolds where you're frustrated, you're upset, and then you go, wow, I can't even be mad anymore. And that's what this game was. I just couldn't be mad anymore when it got up to 60 and 70 because it was so ridiculous. So ridiculous. And then you start thinking, well, gosh, there's no pride here. If the players don't care, why do I care? Because that's how it feels. I mean, you honestly have to question whether the players gave a damn at that point. 70 points? At some point, pride's got to kick in, right? I mean, just crazy. And yeah, you can comment on whatever you want. So last week, I took a poll again. Who was to blame for the loss to the Commanders? Guess what? All the responses were defense. Once again, no offense. That'll get the same thing this week. Now, the offense showed sparks. Russell Wilson started off the game well. We got the running game going early. Cortland Sutton started having a big game. Jerry Jeudy. Marvin Mims, obviously. I mean, that guy is becoming a star for the Broncos. Make no mistake. But then mistakes happen. Penalties happen. Drop passes happen. Cortland Sutton had a touchdown catch in the end zone. Dropped it. Went straight through his hands. Almost hit the camera. I mean, it overshadows his entire day. He had 8 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown, but he had a drop pass and 2 fumbles. Terrible day. At the end of the day, when you have 2 fumbles as a wide receiver and a drop touchdown pass, I don't care what your stats are. That was a terrible day. Absolutely terrible day. And Cortland Sutton's too much of a vet to allow that stuff to happen. Like, that stuff just shouldn't happen. Should not happen. So once the mistakes started happening, Dolphins kept their foot on the pedal, and the next thing we knew, it was out of control. And really, the offense looked good at times, and I am going to say it right now, and I dare you to tell me otherwise. Russell Wilson was balling to start the game. He was doing everything he could to keep us in the game and keep us caught up. I kept mentioning it. I watched the game at home with my family. They were working on a Lego kit. And I just kept saying, he is doing everything he can to try to keep us in this game before it gets out of control. And obviously, we couldn't keep up. You know what? I don't expect our offense to score 70 points and keep up with the Dolphins. That is an unrealistic expectation. Especially considering what our defense was last year and what it should be this year. You can't go from a top 10 defense to where we are in the rankings without a problem with the coaching and the scheme. I mean, and I don't know what Sean Payton's going to do. Clearly, Vance Joseph's keeping his job. Because if Vance Joseph goes, it's a reflection on Sean Payton. And then Greg Penner starts asking questions. So after I thought about it, I went, well, Vance Joseph isn't getting fired as much as I think he needs to get fired. It's the third game of the season. It's not happening. Week 10, week 14, week 15. Yeah, I can see it happening then. But not right now. But you have to wonder what Sean Payton's going to do on the defense. You got to wonder if he's going to have someone else kind of running the reins with Vance Joseph at this point or what. Or they're going to just have to have a big team meeting and talk about, you know, on offense, Sean Payton puts players in the position to have success. You don't see that on defense right now. You don't see that Sean Payton stamp on defense. And it historically killed us against the Dolphins. Historically killed us. And once again, I like Tua. I think he's a good quarterback when he can stay healthy. But the other thing as well, let's go back to this. Jimmy Garoppolo in the 2 games he wasn't playing the Denver Broncos did not look great. Sam Howell in the 2 games he did not play the Denver Broncos did not look great. He had 4 interceptions against Buffalo on Sunday. There is a problem when the Broncos defense lets every quarterback look like an MVP. There is a huge problem. And Pat Sertan's dad, I heard some stuff on the radio and a little article that his dad was irate at the Broncos defense, almost to the point people were questioning, like, well, when Pat Sertan comes up for contract time, is his dad going to say, get the heck out of Denver? Because of the play he saw. Let's hope not. I mean, Pat Sertan, I think, will be a Bronco for a long time to come. But that is concerning. And his dad was a good cornerback. I enjoyed watching Pat Sertan's dad. Oh, I did. PS2's dad was a baller as well. I mean, before we even drafted Pat Surtain. I already knew that about him. Like, he's going to be good because of who his dad was. It's in the genes. And ironically, his dad played for the Dolphins. So, was one of the teams he played for. So, there you go. But, I mean, the offense, like I said, they tried to keep us in it as long as they could. And then it just got sloppy in penalties. Now, the penalties were questionable. Brandon Johnson got a foul for a pick play, and it wasn't. He was just trying to run his route. It was a poor call. You see it done all the time in the NFL, and it negated a touchdown. Terrible. Terrible. And we had a couple others. We had another one where Jerry Jeudy was going to be up for a touchdown. They said we didn't get set. Yes, we did. Terrible call. And I can't remember the ref on the crew, but it's been mentioned a couple times that apparently him and Sean Payton have a history. I don't know if it goes that far, but I mean, there was some bad luck in the Broncos day too. There was some bad luck. There were three touchdowns left out there that we should have had, which would have made the game a little closer. You know, at least it would have been like 70 to 40 something maybe, or maybe we could have stopped them from getting to 70. But the problem is too, is after the Dolphins starters were done, the backups came in and they still scored a touchdown. Now at that point, the Broncos starters for the most part are still playing. Like I said, at what point does pride kick in? Now we're playing the backups, okay? We're supposed to be a top 10 defense. We're not. We already got lit up by the starters. Now we're getting lit up by the backups. I mean, whoa. I mean, I don't know what you... I don't know if you scrapped the entire scheme. I mean, at the beginning of the year in the offseason, what you heard most is Vance Joseph was going to come in, run the same system that was there, put a couple of his elements in. There is no way this is the same system from last year. It has most of the players still. Unless every player got that much worse in one offseason, there is no way it's remotely close to what we were running last year. Mm-mm. No chance. And I don't know what that was at the end of the game between Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. I don't know if Sean Payton was just taking his frustrations out on Russell Wilson. I don't know if there was something about Russell Wilson staying in the game and Sean Payton wanted him to come out and Russell Wilson was trying to show ultimate team game by staying in, and he should have gotten out of the game. Either way, he was getting beat up by the Dolphins defense. Fangio brought blitzes. Like, fine, if you're to keep Russ in, we're going to have some fun with this. And he should have been out of the game. Even post-game, Dolphins media, players, whatever, all said, yeah, I don't understand what Russ was doing in there. So whatever that was, whatever childish display that was, by whether that was a Sean Payton thing, or whether it was pride by Russell Wilson, I don't know. But Russell Wilson had to be out of that game. Okay, he was out of hand. He should have been out of the game. Lived to fight another day. And when he got hit a couple times, it's like, I was waiting for the insult to injury, so to speak, of him being injured by staying in there. Didn't happen, thank goodness. But it just, been around for some of the best Bronco memories ever. Their three Super Bowl victories. I was there at the Tebow comeback game, against with the Steelers, in the wild card round. Was there with my dad. Best memory I ever had with my dad at a Broncos game. Obviously, he's gone now, not forgotten. And it's like, so it's hard when memories like this happen. Like, wow, now I've been part of two of the worst meltdowns in less than a year. You much rather have the great memories. But you can go, yeah, I was part of that. I was part of that memory. And it just, like I said, it felt like we were close on offense. If Cortland Sutton had fumbled twice and not caught that touchdown, the game might have actually been different. I mean, even if a couple calls went our way, there were a few things in there where actually you kind of felt like the game could have gone way different and not the explosion of points for the Dolphins and just the level of beatdown they had on the Broncos. But unfortunately, it is what it is in the end. And now the Broncos are 0-3. Now, we play the Bears and the Jets coming up. We have a really good chance to be 2-3. Really good chance to be 2-3. And at 2-3, guess what? We're still in it with some of the losses that have happened in the AFC. There have been a lot of unexpected losses to start the year. The Broncos, surprisingly, will still be in it. But if we don't get the defense fixed, it doesn't matter. It won't matter. And if we can't beat the Bears and the Jets, it doesn't matter. Like, we should beat both of them, and not just by a little, by a lot. As bad as the Broncos look, the Bears probably looked worse on Sunday. The difference is the Chiefs took the gas off the pedal. They probably took the gas off the pedal. Showed a little mercy a little earlier. So, I mean, we should beat the Bears. The Jets, obviously they have a great defense. But if Zach Wilson's starting at quarterback, again, there should be zero reason that we don't come out of that with a victory and get back to 2-3. And at 2-3, I mean, even though it's two teams that are not so great themselves, life's going to feel a lot better. But if that doesn't happen, it's going to be a long year. It already has been a long year. It'll be an even longer year. Here's my other issue. So Garrett Bowles, after the game, man, all I've done is lost since I've been to Denver or something like that. I'm tired of losing. Garrett Bowles, you're part of the problem. You are part of the problem. You had one good season where you cut the penalties out. Other than that, your blocking is questionable most of the time. You lose your fundamentals, and you have too many penalties. You know what? Look in the mirror. If you're tired of losing, look in the mirror. That probably goes for a lot of players. And this guy, I think it kind of goes back to, I'm a big believer with football and in the NFL. It's a lot about chemistry. It's a lot about teamwork. I mean, Broncos Super Bowl teams, their first two in 32 and 33, we had a lot of cast-offs. Cast-offs, undrafted players, low-round players. Anyone knows the Broncos history knows that. And it kind of tells me, it's always taught me that, you know what, sometimes it's not about where a player was drafted and everything, it's how they fit into your locker room. And there is a big question about which players fit into this locker room going forward. And after it was final, I actually told myself, I went, you know what, if we come out of this and people are fired tomorrow and players are released, nothing will surprise me. Nothing. Everything is on the table. Everything was on the table the day after the game. And I would have been on board with anything. Honestly. Like I said, even though I feel the offense is getting ready to click, if they would have made some serious moves on the offensive side of the ball, I would have went, okay, well, you got to move forward. Got to do something. Defensive side of the ball, you know, same thing. I would have been like, all right. Thought this person was a good player for us, or this person was that, but okay. But unfortunately, when I thought about it more, I'm like, nah, they're not going to make any major changes this early in the year. But if it continues, clearly changes will be made. But unfortunately, I think that's part of the Broncos' problem. They have made probably the wrong coaching hire too many times in the last few years. That's why we had to go out and get Sean Payton. Coaches we could have had that are on other staffs. You know, like the head coach we played yesterday. You know, we could have had Mike McDaniel. We could have had Kyle Shanahan. We didn't even bother to interview McDaniel. And Shanahan we passed on, and look how successful they both are. So we have whiffed in a lot of areas. We've whiffed in the draft. We've whiffed in free agency. And eventually that all comes back to bite you, and it bites you for a long time. And that's kind of where the Broncos are. So the question is, can you get what you need to get out of the talent that is on your roster? Stay healthy since there's questionable depth on the team, and at least grind out a respectable season. And time will tell. I think, you know, Sean Payton said something to the point of, well, this is when you find out about your players. Well, yeah, I think so. And I think the one thing about Sean Payton that's very different from Nathaniel Hackett, even when Vance Joseph was head coach, Vic Fangio, he won't stick with the people that aren't working. He will clear out and clean out a roster if he has to. He is not afraid to do it. And that's one reason I was excited Sean Payton came in. One thing is for sure, if he thinks something is going to make the team better, or he thinks he needs to make a move to get things turning in the right direction, he will not hesitate, even if it is not a fan favorite, ownership favorite. It will not matter. He will make the move. So I look forward to seeing how they bounce back against the Bears and the Jets. And no, I do not just say the Bears. Bears and the Jets. We need both. Period. Okay? I think most people can agree with that at this point. And the other thing, there were people against the Commanders after we blew the 21-3 lead that were just honing in on the offense, even though the offense came back and got us another lead that the defense couldn't hold. And I just kind of was like dumbfuzzled. Like, okay, I know I know it's probably because back in my early school days and my school days, and all, I played on the offensive side of the ball, so maybe I favor that a little bit. Quarterback's always been my favorite position on the field. But with that being said, you know, it's just when there's a lead, and in my opinion, when there's a lead more than about 17 points, the defense should be able to hold it. I don't care whose defense it is. Like, you lose that game, it's on the defense. I'm not talking about the Denver Broncos. I'm talking about any team. You lose that game, it is on your defense at that point. Your offense got you a lead. And with what I was waiting for after this game, I was like, I'm waiting for them. The people that were just blaming the offense against the for the Commanders game, I was waiting for them to come out of the woodwork. Not one. Not one of them came barking at me. Not one. I'm like, oh, come on. You know you want to come out and tell me how these 70 points was the offense's problem. And, you know, the offense, like I said, when it started going downhill, it went downhill. We had opportunities. We had fumbles. We had the unfortunate interception off the tip. We had the drop touchdown pass. And, yes, obviously, the floodgates open. But the offense at least showed the drive at the beginning of the game, and you could see they were doing everything. At least Russ was doing everything he could to keep up. So, in terms of bounce back season for Russell Wilson, I'm still on that train that, despite the record, he's more like the Russell Wilson I thought we were getting. And it's funny because some people are like, oh man, he's still this or that. I don't know what people were expecting when we got Russell Wilson. Like, the Russell Wilson that's been playing this season is about what I thought we were going to get. And I say that from the standpoint of the offense hasn't operated smoothly yet or anything like that. People are still figuring each other out. We're obviously having to figure out how to use certain players, obviously, like Mims, that I think is just going to continue to be a star. And I mean, really, like I said, if Mims hadn't gotten that return for the touchdown on special teams, I mean, the score would have looked even that much worse. But we have talent on both sides of the ball. We just have to figure out how to properly utilize it. I think Sean Payton, obviously, has got things going in the right direction with the offense. I've already said this before on this podcast. People, I think, forget that the Saints weren't purring like a kitten right away. They weren't purring like a kitten. Yeah, they had the big first win with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, but they were not purring like a kitten that right away out of the gate. And so in no way did I expect the Broncos offense to be coming out of the gate scoring 42 points a game. I just never expected it. I just didn't. And let's hope this is not it. There were debates among several former Bronco players this week. Or comments made. Terrell Davis, Alfred Williams, Rod Smith, take your pick. There were several out there. But comments on how it was embarrassing, how it's intolerable, how it's unacceptable, and there were comments, did Bronco players quit? And boy, there was some back and forth on that. And I don't know if they quit. I don't know if it was the heat. I don't know if it was the weather. I don't know if there was just a point where all the effort wasn't there. A combination of everything. I really hope pride comes into play these next couple of weeks to where Bronco players play bell to bell, you know, playing sideline to sideline, and we see more of the defense that we thought we would. And I think our defense is going to have more of a Sean Payton stamp on it. I don't know what that means, but I think it's going to. I think, unfortunately, Vance Joseph, while not being fired, is going to have quite a bit of a leash on him. That's for sure. He's going to have a leash on him. And we got to get the pass rush figured out. We have got talent. We were getting a pass rush last year. Yes, some of the personnel has changed, but we should still be getting a pass rush out of the players that we have. Now, maybe the one is Nick Bonito. Yes, he gets a pass rush, but his fundamentals are just not there yet. So it's a risk reward with him. So, I mean, other than that, though, there should still be enough talent there. Should be. And like I said, it's just unfortunate how the game went, because at the beginning, you knew it was going to be tough. You knew it was going to be a track meet. You knew it was going to be the Dolphins' offense was going to be all over the place. And there was hope for just the slightest while that we were going to somehow find a way to come back and keep up. But once it started coming off the rails, it just started coming off the rails. So we will see what happens next week. The one thing I will say about this game is I quickly got to forget it for a little while. Had my kid's birthday party afterwards. We had to get out of the house and get to the birthday party, get it set up. And it gave me a chance just to, you know what? Hey, get to shut this off right away and go enjoy something else. That was actually a blessing in disguise, looking back, that's how that day worked out. Because, like, better to go on to something else positive than reflect on that just disaster of a game. So, once again, the Broncos lose. Just still a little unbelievable. Lose 70-20 to the Miami Dolphins to drop to 0-3 on the season. Let's see where we go from here. And until next time, this is the Rye Man with the Broncos Country Blitz. And remember to find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Broncos Country. And on Twitter at DDCR_BCB.